Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, looks like it's going to be times of clouds and sun with a high toward the mid-40s. Right now in Kenosha, we have 30 degrees. It's 34 in Burlington, 33 Milwaukee, also 33 degrees in Racine. A four-year-old legal dispute between the city of Racine and Racine County over joint dispatch staffing levels about to formally come to an end. Finance and Personnel Committee, after a closed session, agreed to not appeal Judge Emily Miller's ruling that the county was owed more than $350,000 under terms of the dispatch contract. City Attorney Scott Letney, in open session, noting that the money has been available and it will be directed to the county with formal approval of the committee's recommendation by the Common Council.
The money has been obligated, is set aside in account number 101-2110. So again, my recommendation is that the city not appeal the judgment of the circuit court and make payment to the county in the amount of $350,000. $474.75.
Back in 2013, the city withheld its quarterly payment of $350,000, claiming that the county had failed to meet agreed-upon staffing levels. A second withheld payment was eventually turned over, but the dispute and that one payment remained unresolved until circuit court. Judge Miller ruling the city had to pay the county, though the county admitted to not having the required 51 full-time employees at the time. At the Racine County Board meeting last night, both the tax levy and a resolution to raise supervisor salaries in the future got approved without discussion. The levy for 2017 to be collected in 2018 followed board approval of next year's budget that was done last week. Finance Committee Chairman Q.A. Shakur saying that the total levy is $49.7 million, the tax rate to be just under $3.50.
The handicapped schools come up to $804,306. The Lakeshore Libraries come up to $2,347,967. The County Bridge Aid is $33,839. Debt service is $7,009,988. And the other countywide tax is $42,743,918.
On the resolution to raise supervisor salaries, only Bob Miller voted against the increase, the first since the year 1990. And the county board also had a first reading of a resolution from the Health and Human Development Committee that authorizes the Human Services Department to contract with a privately operated youth receiving home facility for temporary out-of-home placements. That'll be coming up at the board meeting next time. More than a year after the Village of Mount Pleasant parted ways with its last administrator, the new administrator will start her tenure beginning on Monday. After meeting in a closed-door session, Search Committee Chair Rob Richardson announced the hiring of Maureen Murphy.
And it has been a process that has extended, actually probably, I want to say, at least 3 months. I think we started this in summer. And so through the process of multiple interviews and review, the board tonight is prepared to recommend and move to the hiring of Maureen A. Murphy. From West Bend.
Murphy thanking the board for their confidence in her and assuring everybody she wants the people of Mount Pleasant to be involved in their government.
So we'll be talking more and more about doing a strategic plan. We've talked a lot about that. Doing possibly a Citizens Academy government.
Murphy saying that the Foxconn development was a major factor that drew her to apply for the administrator's post in Mount Pleasant. The vote to approve her appointment was unanimous. Her most recent job in public service, Human Services Administrator in West Bend. For the past couple of years, she's been on hiatus to take care of some family issues. Could be driverless vehicle lanes added to the interstate in Racine County for the Foxconn plant. That's according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Officials in the talks with the company had reportedly believed they were ahead of the curve when they were planning on traffic issues and expanding the I-8 lanes. Then the Foxconn people came in and said, well, what about autonomous vehicles? One possibility might be, according to the paper, having such a lane set up between the plant site in Mount Pleasant up to Mitchell Airport. In Kenosha, Alderman G. John Ruffalo's trial on allegations that he stalked a former girlfriend has been delayed now. There was a scheduled motion hearing yesterday afternoon, the defense and prosecution both asking for more time to review Ruffalo's cell phone records. A pretrial conference now set for March the 16th. Trial has been rescheduled for March the 26th. And it is not every day that somebody is criminally charged with threatening another person with a crossbow. So when it happens, there's a tension, and this case is also in Kenosha County. 41-year-old Kenosha resident Mark Manderfeld is charged with reckless endangerment of safety, strangulation and suffocation, intimidation of a victim, along with battery and disorderly conduct. The criminal complaint also pointing out the man's wife, despite signs of physical abuse, would not sign a complaint. Police say that she had an arrow in the crossbow pointed at her throat at one point during the confrontation by her husband. He's being held on $50,000 bond. A change in state law regarding incorporation approved because of Foxconn's allowing Town of Yorkville officials to take advantage and move to change that community status to a village. The Town Board and Plan Commission both voting last night in favor of a resolution to eventually hold a referendum in the spring, though a specific date has yet to be established. Up until the Foxconn bill, Yorkville officials, like others in towns, had to deal with Wisconsin's more rigid rules on incorporation. The only holdup right now with the new scenario, the Foxconn site in nearby Mount Pleasant, first has to be designated as an electronic district under the legislation. That will come after the first of the year. Then the town board can move toward a referendum date toward establishing things as a village. Changes in the Mount Pleasant Master Use Plan, with the land in the area and rezoning of more than 200 parcels of land connected to Foxconn, another possible development, all approved last night by the village board. Community Development Coordinator Sam Schultz said this is a land use plan change involving the area at the southwest corner of the village targeted by Foxconn. Another initial approval by the Plan Commission in October had letters going out to 127 parcels involved and the surrounding municipalities seeking comments. And the board approved a recommendation from the Plan Commission for rezoning over 206 parcels in that same targeted area.
Village 2035 Master Land Use Plan recommends Business Park for a portion of the properties mostly located north of State Highway 11. Additionally, the proposed 2017 amendment to the Village 2035 Master Land Use Plan, which you just voted on, recommends Business Park for the properties. RZ 1117 coincides with these recommendations. The petition opens additional lands for business park development along the interstate corridor. Such development may generate additional tax revenues for TID number 5.
All that goes with everything connected to Foxconn. Both the recommendations approved unanimously. At City Hall in Racine, the Finance and Personnel Committee supports a no-cost contract, that is, with CGI Communications of Rochester, New York. They're asking to produce videos that promote the city of Racine. Questions and concerns, though, were raised by at least one panel member about a local company maybe be able to do the same thing. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk said it is something done across the country. It's a community video program, and it's backed by the National Alliance of Cities and U.S. Conference of Mayors. He personally had experience with it as the administrator in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
One that features quality of life, the downtown, attractions, healthcare. We could pick out, for instance, maybe we want to do economic development, maybe we want to do development sites or Foxconn or whatever we might want to do that's particularly appropriate to us. But you wind up getting the professional production done, and in the end, the only cost to us is that endorsement to the community that says we endorse it and the fact that we would agree for 3 years to have that shown on our website.
Alderman Henry Perez didn't have a problem with the concept, but he did have a problem with local talent maybe getting the chance to do this.
We talk about being local. We talk about doing stuff locally. This is New York, and we don't appear to have given anybody locally an opportunity to do similar to this. And that bothers me. We got slammed politically last time we did something where we tried to go outside of our own city and do something. And we do have in our city a few companies that do this kind of thing, I believe. And just outside of our city, like in Milwaukee, I'm sure we have some.
A motion to hold off until at least considering local firms to do the same work died for lack of a second. Perez, the only no vote, then to recommend that proposal to the Common Council. Now, at the meeting next week, there could be yet another effort at considering local talent, perhaps tying it into some kind of a video contest. But no taxpayer dollars would be involved. S.C. Johnson Chairman and CEO Fisk Johnson named this year's honorary Kettle campaign chair for the Racine Salvation Army. He was picked by the advisory board because of his compassionate leadership style and what a release indicates was his passion for the Racine community. And West Dallas resident Larry Hills won $50,000 in the October 18th Powerball drawing. That ticket purchased at a gas station and store in Wind Lake. The person who bought a $1 million winning ticket in Kenosha from that very same drawing, well, that person has yet to come forward. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.